Hey there, and welcome to the Transparently Jordan podcast, where I'll be talking with a new guest each week, and we'll be covering topics in health, fitness, lifestyle, and so much more. So stick around, and let's get into today's episode.
Voices Media.
For you to continue the business and be successful, you bring out the best version of yourself, which I think that we're all put on this earth to be the best version of ourselves. So it's like a shortcut to get there is by taking the leap of faith and backing yourself.
Hey you guys, Elite Supps Australia is your one-stop shop for all of your supplement needs. It has all of the major brands, ranging from EHP Labs to Optimum Nutrition to Body Science to Faction Labs. They have it all. Be sure to shop online at elitesupps.com.au and use code JORDAN10 to save yourself a little money. That is code JORDAN10, JORDAN10, to save yourself some money. Thanks, you guys. What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode. I am back from vacation. I am feeling refreshed. I am feeling great right now. It is the long weekend, another long weekend for me, after being off for 14 days and then being back to work for 2 days and now another 5 days off. So I'm just living life right now. Sorry to brag, but I'm feeling good. Hope you all are enjoying your day wherever and whenever you are listening to today's episode. I realized the other day, essentially when I was interviewing Ozzy, that the vulnerability corner, you know, I've been doing it for a while, but I have never actually gone through the questions myself. I've asked numerous guests these questions, but, you know, I'm being kind of a fucking hypocrite and I haven't, you know, answered them myself. I've been asking my guests to be vulnerable and answer quite difficult questions, but, you know, there's me just kind of sitting there nodding my head. And yeah, so I thought during this intro, let's do a vulnerability corner, but myself basically, instead of asking the guests the questions. So if you are new to the show, the Vulnerability Corner, I have 5 questions that I've written down. They are questions that I've come up with, that I've kind of searched on the internet. They all kind of revolve around vulnerability. And essentially what I do in the episodes is I ask a guest to pick a number between 1 to 5. They pick the number and then I read out that corresponding question. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of go through all of the questions in order, and I'm going to answer them myself as truthfully and honestly. So let's get into it. Now, the first question of the vulnerability corner is, what emotion do you feel most often? Before I answer this question, I did not prep these answers at all. So this is kind of just me being open and vulnerable. What emotion do I feel most often? I would say probably the emotion that I feel most often is, I don't even know if this would be an actual emotion, but anxious probably. I am quite an anxious person, whether it seems like it or not. I know, you know, the people that know me know that I am quite out there and I can be quite outgoing, but on the inside, I am quite anxious. You know, I have over the years tried to put myself in situations to get me out of my bubble, to be a little bit more social and less antisocial, but, you know, there's only doing that to an extent. An example, I think, would be the run club that I go to, you know, Sunday mornings. I run with Run As One, and I essentially every Sunday morning, I mean, I shouldn't say every Sunday morning, because last Sunday morning when I wanted to go, I was so anxious. I was like, actually, let's just go and run my normal route. So I think like just being around people that I don't know, being around situations where I have to kind of put myself out there is quite frightening to me. And I think that's definitely emotion that I feel on the daily. If I am uncomfortable, I don't like that. And I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, it is quite normal to not like feeling uncomfortable, but I think that is a great feeling to have, because it helps you grow and it helps teach you other things as well, like resilience, like strength, you know, pushing through. So I feel like anxious is probably the unfortunate feeling that I feel most often. Again, I'm working on it, and I do feel that just putting yourself in these situations more and more should hopefully, you know, overcome this feeling. And I want to walk in situations feeling more confident versus feeling, you know, anxious and quiet and timid and whatnot. So that is the first question. The second question is, what is the personal quality of which you're most ashamed? Okay. I think the personal quality is probably being so guarded. When I am in a room, you know, when I am around people that I don't know, I think I come across as being very cold, being very quiet, maybe a little bit rude and whatnot. You know, that's never my intention. It's just, I guess, a combination of, you know, the last question as well. I guess it's just the feeling of me being so anxious and being so guarded. I kind of put these walls up, and I know it comes across as me being like an asshole or being a big douche in a room. You know, me not talking to anybody, or, you know, only keeping with certain people and whatnot. So I think that's a big quality that I feel ashamed of, because I have gotten this told to me so many times of, you know, people that have gotten to know me after, you know, us being around each other for such a long time and, you know, not saying a word to each other. They're like, oh my God, you're actually such a nice person. You know, I always thought that, you know, you've been so intimidating in the past, blah, blah, blah. And like, that just shames me so much, because I don't want to be intimidating. I don't want to be like perceived that way, but it's just, I guess, how I come off. So yeah, I guess that's probably the personal quality that I feel most ashamed of, and, you know, trying to just work on that. Simple things like walking into a room or being in a room and, you know, having a smile on my face, or just like, you know, not resting bitch face, which I know I normally have. Trying to strike conversations with people. Yeah, so that's probably the quality that I'm the most ashamed of. These questions are hard. I know how my guests feel now. The next question is, what things in the past have shaped the way you see things now or go about your life? I think this one is a deep one. This one here, what things in the past have shaped the way you see things? I guess this can go with the last couple of questions as well. I know it's probably not meant to be, but this is the first thing that comes to mind is, I think the reason why I'm so guarded, the reason why I feel so anxious in rooms of, you know, large people or people that I don't know, and the reason why I put up these walls in the beginning is because I think in the past, growing up, you know, being a gay athlete, being someone who has partaked in sports, you know, I played ice hockey for a good 20 years of my life, lacrosse, athletics, you know, there was a certain point where I feel like things just switched in a sense, where, you know, these days, I think people are a lot more accepting, but I'm 29 years old. I'm a millennial. When I was in school, it was not the way that it is these days. So I think being in rooms and being in situations where I've always felt that I needed to stay quiet, where I've always needed to put these walls up, you know, not let people see me for me, not let people, I guess, not let people get close in a sense. I think that's just something that, unfortunately, because I've done it or I had to do it or felt like I had to do it for so long, it's just something that I probably still do subconsciously, and I know I still do subconsciously. So that's definitely something in the past that kind of, I guess, is the reason why I go about some things in my life. I think it's probably a reason why I also am quite anxious to try new things, where I probably don't put myself out there and whatnot because I don't want to be judged and, you know, I don't want to be made fun of and whatnot. And I think that's something in the last couple of years I've worked on significantly. You know, back in 2020 when I first started this podcast, I've always wanted to podcast. You know, I've had one of my old CrossFit coaches started a podcast years before I did, and I always was quite envious of that. And, you know, I looked up to this person, and, you know, I was like, oh, I want to do that. But just putting myself out there was a little bit difficult. So I think that was the first way, whether it be posting something on social media, this and that, like, I've just tried to reshape my way of thinking and almost kind of put it in my head, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, the people that are probably talking about you, you don't know them, or they don't really know you, so why should you care? And B, I'm probably at a point in my life now where I have my close bubble of friends, and, you know, I'm quite open and honest with these guys, with these people. And I feel quite comfortable with them. So I'm like, you know, I know none of my actual friends are going to care, you know, what I put out on my podcast or how I behave, or maybe not how I behave, but you know what I mean, what I'm trying to get at. Whereas all of the people that I'm like, I may be scared of, it's like a what if scenario. You know, I don't think I should ever live my life with a what if. Oh, what if this person says that? Or I've just been trying to really put myself in positions and put my mind in a position where, you know, I have a little bit more confidence and I just don't care what people think. And I think that's definitely something that I've worked at the last couple of years. And I think now that's kind of reshaped how I go about things, because I go to the run clubs now, you know, when I'm not panicking with anxiety and whatnot, which for the most part I don't. You know, I go out and about. I just put myself in more in these scenarios, have guests on my podcast, this and that, where, you know, I just try and be open and honest. So, yeah, I know that's kind of a long answer to that short question, but that, I guess, is how I go about things now and what has shaped it in the past. Now, the next question is, what makes you look down on other people, and what do you think makes other people look down on you? So this is an interesting one. I think what makes me look down on other people the most is how they kind of have an outlook on life. Again, I've in the last couple of years, but also the last couple of months, you know, ever since I had my health scare, ever since I had the surgery that I never knew I needed, you know, ever since I kind of was put through that situation, it's kind of opened my take on how I see things and whatnot. And I think people that look at things so negatively, I think that is how that makes me look down on them. I think there's always a silver lining of things. There's always a positive sometimes of things. You know, sometimes things just suck, you know what I mean? But I think people that just kind of live in the negative and always play the victim in a sense, that's probably what I look down on. And I think it's because that's how I used to see things as well. Again, I've done a lot of work and I've tried to do a lot of work, and you know, I now try and see the positives on things. If something doesn't go my way, you know, I embrace failure now. I think failure is quite an important thing, and I just have a bit of an outlook, or a different outlook, I should say, on certain things. So that's probably the thing that I look down on. What do you think makes other people look down on you? I think sometimes probably it's going back to what I've already announced, just being so guarded potentially. Because again, I think people that necessarily don't really know me, or, you know, people that might want to get to know me or whatnot might think that, again, I'm not that nice of a person, if you know what I mean. When it's just, again, I am quite an anxious person. I just have these walls up sometimes. So I think that's probably what people look down on me for. Probably another one. I know this is probably this is meant to be a one answer question only, but I think another one probably is sometimes what I put out there. I am quite open and I'm quite honest what I put out there with this podcast alone. You know, going back to the episodes of these podcasts, you know, there's a bunch of episodes that I have taken down. I mean, they're still up, but they're private now because, I mean, if you're an OG listener, you know some of the content that was out there, and just friends and family that have kind of messaged me after some of the episodes, just like basically making me feel like complete garbage, if you know what I mean. There was an episode that I did, it's still to this date one of the most listened episodes that I have. It went viral and whatnot, which I was quite grateful for, but it was the part one of the Grindr confessional, and that episode just blew up, and I got so many messages from friends and family like, oh, you need to take this episode down. You know, I know you're trying to be honest, but you know, what are people going to think, blah, blah, blah. And I think like sometimes just letting that kind of dictate things is quite big of a negative. So I think sometimes, yeah, me being so honest, and me trying to be open, you know, I'm not necessarily oversharing, but I'm just trying to speak the truth in a sense. And sometimes that gets me in trouble. But also, like, I think sometimes if people don't have the same outlook where, you know, they don't look at the negatives in a sense, or they try not to look at the negatives, they just kind of have a different opinion, if you know what I mean. So I think that's probably something else. Sorry, I know that was a long answer as well, but the next and final question is, what do you most like about yourself, and what do you most dislike about yourself? So what I most like about myself is I think I am quite a loyal person. I always try to, and I always do, kind of stick to my word, you know, whether it be scheduling, you know, a hangout with a mate, or, you know, making a plan or whatnot. I am never the one to cancel. I think once you make a commitment, stick to that commitment. Even if I'm a very much an introvert, and sometimes I make plans, you know, a month in advance, and then it gets to the date and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. But when it comes to my friends, when it comes to my family, like, I am a very loyal person, and, you know, I will be there. So I think that is probably what I like most about myself. What do you most dislike about yourself? This one, again, I hate to sound like a broke record, but it's just because, again, this is what is kind of going on right now and what I am trying to work on, it's probably me being very anxious, but not necessarily the anxious part, sorry. It's probably me having these walls that I'm trying to like knock down in a sense. Again, I think I am still very timid. Timid's probably not the right word. I think I'm still very guarded a lot of the times, and that doesn't always come across well in my favor. So I can't talk today, clearly. That doesn't come well in my favor. So, yeah, it's definitely the being guarded part is probably what I dislike. And again, it stems from like my past, and it stems from always like, I guess, being nervous of people's opinions and whatnot. You know, I've also had people in the past, even as like in adulthood, you know, when I first moved here to Adelaide, trying to make friends, you know, I was first in uni here. That's the reason why I moved to Adelaide. I went to Flinders, and, you know, having people kind of talk behind my back as an adult, that kind of like struck a nerve as well, just because, again, it's something that has happened in the past again and again. And, you know, the fact that I now have found my people in a sense, but, you know, being someone who is very active, who is very driven by goals and whatnot, people just did not see that in the past. And I've had people in the past plainly speak behind my back to like some of my friends saying like, oh, you know, Jordan's so boring. Jordan doesn't drink. Jordan does do this. Jordan does do that. And I think, again, that just kind of hit hard because those are things that I know, but I like choose to do those things. You know what I mean? Like I choose to wake up at 5 a.m. to go for a run. I choose to go to run club. I choose to do this and that. So yeah, that probably is another thing. Now, once again, I'm running 7 marathons, 7 back-to-back days, starting July 1st to July 7th. If you guys want to donate, there is a link in the show notes. Definitely click that link. You can go to last episode where I do a big rundown of Bravehearts, but short story, they are a charity organization who works for child sexual abuse survivors. So it is such an important fundraiser. Be sure to head to the show notes. You know, whatever you can donate, that means a lot to myself and to Bravehearts. But that is what I'm doing. I'm running the 7 marathons. Check that out. Enough about me. Let's get into today's episode. Now, today I am speaking with Ozzy Edwards. I first met Ozzy years back when I was a member of the Gym Glenelg. Such a great personality, such an honest and open person, just all around good vibes. Today's episode is a very good one. He chats with us about how he left his 9-to-5 to start his business, you know, all of the adventures that he's had with his business, him and his good mates, and their success through TikTok and, you know, YouTube and all of that. So definitely stay tuned to today's episode because we are going to start that content right now. Awesome. Well, Ozzy, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on. How are you going today?
Really good. Thank you for having me, Jordan.
Yes, no worries. No worries.
Thanks for the coffee too, mate.
Yes, legend. Yes, that's all right. Now, Ozzy is a photographer, a videographer. He has Be The One. I'm sure the list goes on and on. So we'll definitely chat about all of that going forwards. But Ozzy, maybe if you don't mind, just kind of get a little bit into what you kind of do with yourself currently and, you know, give us a little rundown of yourself.
Of course. Thank you, mate. So I have my own business called Ozzy Edwards Media, which is all about photography and videography. I love my extreme sports. I'm a solo skydiver. Okay. Got my license a couple of years ago and love that now, which is really fun. I work a lot with extreme sports in like that sort of realm. Yeah. So like a lot with Red Bull, yeah. Do a lot of gymnastics, love calisthenics, gym, fitness, health, yeah. Running, awesome. All about like healthy eating, clean water, like all of that stuff. So yeah, just Loving life. Yeah. Doing my thing.
Awesome. How did the extreme sports kind of come about? Was that always something that you wanted to do?
It wasn't really. I was like
getting your license and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be like really scared of roller coasters.
Yeah. Okay.
And this one time through Be The One, yeah, we were taking quite a few strangers like outside of their comfort zones and like doing some cool things with them. So we took these two random guys that we met at Salty Sips, shark cage diving. Okay. And one of the boys said, "Boys, I'm going to do my skydiving license. Does anyone want to join me?" And he's like, "Ozzy, do you want to do it?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's go." And then we booked it in the next week and got it.
So you did shark, like the shark cage everything?
Yeah, yeah, shark cage diving. Yeah.
I've kind of always wanted to do that myself, but at the same time, I'm afraid of the ocean. Just the thought of, the thought of it all. When I lived in Hawaii, we had the opportunity to do it. And I was like, nah. I think I like signed up. Me and my cousin signed up, and then I'm the one who chickened out. I just like
really
the thought of like jumping into the plain like ocean. And in Hawaii, I don't know how they do it here. In Hawaii, they did it like in the nighttime, as well. Wild. So there were just lights and everything, and wasn't for me. Wasn't for me at all.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah,
I feel like though that's more of a reason to do it, to overcome that fear.
I guess. Yeah. I guess. I know. One day, maybe. One day. Now, how did this journey come about? You know, you've started your own business and all of that. When did that happen, and how did that kind of come to be?
Yeah. So, straight out of school, I graduated in 2017, and four of my best mates from primary school. We've been best mates like since we were 3 years old. Mm-hmm. We always stuck together and we were like, let's create a business of some sort. And that's when we started our own YouTube channel called Be The One. Now it's been like 4 or 5 years since we've had that, and we've evolved over time to have the TikTok channel. Yeah. And now we're like full social media creators. From there, that's where sort of like the passion for videography and photography and like being on camera sort of came from. Yeah. So straight out of school, I went into uni and studied human movement, PE teaching and outdoor education. Love just like all the adventure stuff, like the rock climbing and things like that. And then got a job at the Gym Glenelg, where we first met actually. Started working there for a couple of years and did the normal like 9-to-5 job. And then I was like, cool, I've achieved that. And then I was like, I feel like I need to do more in life. I just sort of felt like it was just the same routine and I wanted to like change things up. So then I was like, cool, I've learned how to run a business here at the gym. Let's start my own business. And I just chose to do videography as it was just like one of my passions. Literally had no experience in it at all. And now it's been 2 years in and I'm loving it. It's so fun.
What was the challenge of that? Because you know that can be quite daunting, I think, for a lot of people, to I guess overcome the fear like we were just talking about. But what was, I guess, the biggest challenge of, you know, quitting your 9-to-5, starting this business? Did it kind of happen overnight for you? Did you take some time? How did that kind of process happen, and what was the challenge with that?
It took a bit of time, like it was a lot of planning. I sort of mentioned to my boss that I wanted to start my own business and outlined that I'd stay for another like 4 months or so. So I just like had a certain date locked in my mind. And then just like got to work working on my own business outside of the 9-to-5. So like didn't sleep much, just like trying to get it all ready and set up. And then as soon as that day came, I was there ready to go and made the switch happen. It was pretty scary, but it felt right. As strange as that sounds, I was just like there was a lot of like adults being like, geez, that's like ballsy to do. Like, how could you do that and stuff? And I was like, in the position I'm in, I was like at the time 22 or so, living at home with my parents. Have the safety net of them, you know, shelter, food, everything's on the table. Like for me, I was like, if I want to start something, now's the time to jump and send it. And that's what really gave me the confidence to do it.
Awesome. Because it can be a quite daunting thing. And I think in this day and age, you'll get that feedback all the time from maybe the older generation, from parents. You know, I myself have gotten that feedback numerous times. Oh, what are you doing? You have a good job, you know? And I think it can be like when you have all of this feedback, it can be quite daunting and it can be kind of mess with your head in a sense, right? So that that is a challenge in its own. And, you know, it's great that you overcame that. And I think like there are a lot of people out there that just kind of getting through that and getting past that is quite difficult. Now, what kind of things have you been up to over the past kind of couple of years since you've started this business? What have you been up to? What kind of like deals have you made? Who you work with? What's your favorite? You know, let's get into a bit of that.
Awesome. So in terms of, yeah, what I've achieved so far, my goal was to start my own business and shoot for Red Bull. Yeah. That was like my dream client.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I'm really into like, actually I heard you speak about with your podcast with Nathan about like journaling and things like that, which I've been doing for like a long time as well.
Yeah.
So I remember like writing myself an invoice addressed like by me to Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was before I started the business or whatever.
Yeah.
5 months in, they hit me up and I did my first shoot for them. And then after that, they put me on as Adelaide's preferred photographer for Red Bull. So I was like literally from just like making a digital invoice.
Yeah.
It was like 2 months after it was like 3 or 4 months after I'd like done the fake one.
Yeah.
The real one actually came in and I was like, wow, this stuff works. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, did a really cool shoot at Tail and Bend up there.
Okay, yeah.
At the track with Red Bull athlete Jamie Wincup and Justin Hems, who's an Australian billionaire.
Okay, yeah.
And it was really cool just like meet them and shoot on the track with these supercars and stuff. It was like wild.
Yeah.
From there, I've done a lot of other, I could say like lots of small businesses in Glenelg, like for like new website videos, things like that.
Yeah.
A lot of commercial work as well in terms of like shooting event photography or event videography, like over a few days and things like that as well.
Yeah.
And recently I just signed a contract to shoot a documentary, which
sweet.
Is wild.
Okay.
So it's been like my biggest gig so far.
Yeah.
This lady's running from Adelaide to Melbourne. Yeah. She's running 1,000 kilometers in 20 days, which is really cool.
Sweet. Awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be a good challenge.
It will be.
You know, for yourself and for her. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Similar to you, actually, with your 7 marathons.
Yep. That's coming up. Yeah.
How are you feeling for that?
I mean, it's a bit daunting. Everything's coming real. Like flights have been booked yesterday.
Yes.
Everything's like coming along. So I'm like, uh-oh, things are happening. But I mean, from Adelaide to Marathon, that's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Adelaide to Melbourne. Oh, I know. She's a beast. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Now, what does a day in life of, you know, Aussie look like? What do you do? I mean, I'm sure it fluctuates every day, but what do you do from morning to night? How does your day look like, you know, when you're working on your business, when you're working on your projects? Kind of how do you handle all of that?
So up nice and early, like around 6 or so each morning.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting, fast to like 12 or 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Get into a quick like shower, finish with a cold shower, and then into the gym, hit like some like a bodybuilding split, just like a normal gym program, and then some calisthenics bodyweight stuff to finish. After that, get into the office like pretty early, or depending on the day, I guess like every second day I've got like a run club as well.
Right. Okay.
So either like a run before gym and then gym after, then into the office about 9-ish. Or like 10, just depending on how long the session is.
Mm-hmm.
Into some work for like till about 2 o'clock afternoon time.
Yeah.
Head home for a big feed for lunch.
Yeah.
Break the fast. Brew healthy food.
Yeah.
Back to the office till like 6 or 7-ish.
Yep.
Back home to dinner with the fam, or it'll be like filming with the Be the One boys.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes in the office we'll like do something fun and we'll just like go for like a quick sunset skate ride or whatever, and then come back to the office and work late again.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, like, I guess like just trying to fit it all in, like it's did it take long for you to get this routine? Like, because it sounds like it's quite structured, like you follow that structure daily. Like, how did you kind of adopt that routine, or was it just something that you naturally have done in the past and you've stuck with it?
Yeah, it took ages, actually. It probably took a good year to get into that routine.
Yeah.
Like from when to like change, like it's amazing having a 9-to-5 like it was at the gym, and it's like, cool, you're here for these hours, you're in, you're out, you get your lunch.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, okay, you're starting your own business. How much time you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So it's like, you can spend all day there or you can spend no time. And you're like, cool, I've got a day off. And you're like, wait a second, I got to get the money coming in. Like, so it was really, probably a year to actually get that routine dialed to work for my lifestyle that I wanted to prioritize with health and fitness, even with growing the business.
Because, you know, like the reason I asked, it sounds like you're fitting a lot in the day. And I think sometimes people think, oh, when you own your own business, you can do whatever, whenever, you know what I mean? But you kind of have to, like you were just saying, structure everything in, and you're following the same regime. Like, I think people always ask myself, and I'm sure you get asked the same question, oh, how do you fit everything in every day, right? And it's having that structure, it's having that routine. And after a while, it just becomes habit, I think, right? So, no, it's quite interesting to hear, you know, yourself, you have all of these kind of tasks that you're doing. You have this business, successful business, and you know, you're still able to fit in your health, your fitness, all of that type of stuff. So that's really good to hear.
Thank you. Yes. Yep.
Now talk about Be The One. I know you were saying that, you know, you grew up with these mates and whatnot. How did it all kind of start? Like, how long ago did that start, really?
Yeah, so it started with us boys being mates, and we all went to different high schools. But we all had like birthday sleepovers, literally, like growing up. Yep. And we just stayed like heaps close. Yep. Best mates. Mm-hmm. From there, we always wanted to, the goal was to start a business together. Yep. Outside of school. Mm-hmm. And then we thought that YouTube would be the best platform for it. Yep. So we started off doing like a lot of things, doing like Project Kindness every single day for a year, and doing like lots of different things for charities, things like that, which was really cool in the community. And like we saw a lot of positive change, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But we found that the views didn't follow and they didn't translate to like online success. Mm-hmm. So we switched platforms a little bit, probably like 2 years in, and went more TikTok route. Mm-hmm. And did like a lot more of extreme sports and things like that. Yeah. Saw lots of success there. And then now we do sort of like public stunts and just like helping people do what they really want in life, and yeah, by inspiring them to do what they want. Yeah. Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And are you still on YouTube, or is it solely TikTok now?
Solely TikTok now.
Yeah, yeah, because I was just gonna say, it's probably, I think that's what a lot of creators have adopted, right?
Exactly.
YouTube used to be the thing. I know growing up, like, everybody wanted to have a YouTube channel and yes, whatnot, and now it's that TikTok. So
yeah.
How was that transition for you guys?
It was interesting, because for a YouTube video, as I'm sure you know, you'd put like a YouTube video could be anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'd put weeks and weeks of efforts, yeah, like filming it, editing, getting it all together. It'd take like a month or so. You'd, yeah, put one up, and yeah, then it wouldn't get many views, and you're like, oh, right. But obviously that's like on us.
Yeah.
You know, you can make the video way better, yeah, do better ideas, mm-hmm, better editing, all that stuff to get like more views and things like that.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, okay, let's try TikTok. It's all short form. Mm-hmm. You put up a video for like 10 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That it's heaps quicker to film. Yeah. And then you're like, whoa, this just got like 2 to 5 million views. Yeah. How's that even possible? Yeah. Like, so with a different algorithm on TikTok and all those things, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
So we saw it's like a massive translation of this huge audience being receptive to it on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And then from switching, I think we've been on TikTok for like 9 months now.
Yeah.
We've had like 12 to 15 globally recognized brands that we've, yeah, worked with.
Wow.
Which has been crazy.
Yeah.
Just from TikTok. And we're like, that's insane growth in, yeah, an insane amount of time.
Yeah. TikTok seems to be the platform now, and I think it is the platform now. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, people like, I think like yourselves who have figured that out, that's quite, you know, good for your business, because I think there is probably a lot of people out there still that are, you know, going through the YouTube route, going through the Instagram route and all of that, which by all means, like, if that's successful for you, great. But I think like TikTok is such a massive platform now, like, utilize it to your advantage, really. How did you kind of figure all of this out, Ozzy? I know that's like a loaded question, and a lot of the times it's just kind of going with the flow, right? And trying to figure it out along the road, really. But how did you figure out, you know, how to start this, how to do this, how to get from X to Y? Was there a book that you read? Was there things that you tried to adopt, or was it just purely like figuring it out day by day?
Yeah, literally that.
Yeah.
Just like so much trial and error,
yeah,
with the boys being like, does this work? Yes, no, yes, no. And
yeah,
like literally like 4 years of trying and guessing to being like on the fifth year, okay, it's working. We now know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's strange.
Yeah.
Some people may only see the tip of the iceberg,
mm-hmm,
but it's like, yeah, we've been trying for like 4 years how to guess and make it work, and now it's working, which,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I would just say like heaps of trial and error,
yeah,
and also not giving up.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to give up on something,
mm-hmm,
but just keep persisting and keep trying. If you fully believe in it, at the end of the day, it's going to,
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
If you know it's going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how do you plan? Like, do you guys plan for the future? yourself with your own business with Be The One? Do you guys plan for the future? Because there's new things that come out all the time. Things are constantly evolving in the social world and whatnot. You know, if there's a new platform that comes out, this and that, like, do you guys have like a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan? Or is it, again, like you were saying, just kind of going with the flow currently?
Currently, it's pretty on the fly, going with the flow. Yeah. We do have big plans, though, like in terms of Be The One and the audience we've built now on TikTok. Yeah. It's like, sweet, we've built a great audience. We know how to get views and we know how to get followers. Yeah. We're like, how can we monetize this and turn it into a business where it can be profitable? Yeah. So between the 3- and 5-year goal, like you mentioned, there's things that we want to do, like starting brands, selling products, things like that in there to that audience. And then also growing it to a stage where, sweet, it now runs itself. It's a well-oiled machine and we don't have to be involved in it, which would be cool with other staff running it. Mm. So there's a lot in the pipelines in terms of like long-term goals and how we're getting there and things like that. Yeah. But I'd say a lot of the videos sort of come up on the fly. If it's like, sweet, Adelaide Oval, there's a big game today. All right, we're going to go there and film a video there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And do you guys have a bunch of, like, do you guys record a bunch in one session, or do you guys just kind of go day by day in that sense?
We love to film heaps, like all the filming takes place on the weekends, and we'll film like 3 or 4 vids on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll be like, sweet, we've got plenty of content for the week.
So kind of all planned out. That's a good way, I think. Now, for those people out there that have their 9-to-5, you know, have their passion project on the side and whatnot, they are trying to transition, they're wanting to transition. It's hard to make that, you know, make that change, really, just because of nerves and all of that. I guess, what is some advice that you have, you know, yourself, you've put yourself through that position. What is some advice that you have for those type of people, really?
I would say the best advice is to, if you've thought about it once, take action. By taking action, you start, you make it happen, and you really bring your thoughts into fruition and you can see it unfold in your life before your eyes, which is incredible. So I think by doing what your passion is and making that leap of faith of coming from your 9-to-5 and leaving it, or whichever your business may be, you really find out who your best self is. Like, every entrepreneur knows and understands, it's like, okay, you go through hard times, you go through so many incredible successes, like ups and downs. It's like, for you to continue the business and be successful, you bring out the best version of yourself, which I think that we're all put on this earth to be the best version of ourselves. So it's like, a shortcut to get there is by taking the leap of faith and backing yourself, by taking the step out and turning your passion into a business.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's great advice, really. I think it's daunting, right? So just kind of taking that first step and doing it. It sounds cliche, right? But you just kind of have to sometimes, right? There's not much more that you can say. I know you mentioned Red Bull, you know, you really like that project. This new project's great. But what I guess has been some, like, your biggest highlight up to this point, whether it be a brand that you've worked with, something, a vid that you've done with Be The One, what's kind of been the highlight up to this point in the journey? Because there's been a lot, I think.
I think the highlight so far, when I was at my 9-to-5 job, you have a salary and, you know, it's awesome because it's really financially secure. It's steady income. You're like, week by week, get your paycheck. Which is great. I think the biggest step was like, wow, this is going to be tricky, because having your own business and being a freelancer is like, wow, when's the next job going to come in? There's no one paying your bill. Like, you have to go and get the money yourself. So the coolest thing was, it was like, the reason why I left the gym, as I mentioned before, was because there is a ceiling there. And I was like, no matter how much work I put in, I'm still getting paid the same. Whereas if I have my own business, if I put in more hours or more time or whatever, I'm then going to get rewarded for that. Absolutely. As in, like, I'll get the profits. And literally was the other day when I landed the documentary deal. I was just like, okay, that has exceeded, like, probably twice the amount of what my salary would have been at the gym Glenelg that I got from one job, which came from one phone call. And that was because I have my own business. So I was like, the fact that just having your own business, it opens so many more opportunities for other things to come in that you wouldn't even like have thought of.
Yeah.
There's so much more room for growth.
Absolutely.
And I think so far that's been my biggest achievement. I was just like, wow, I made that in one job, which would have taken me 2 years at the Gym Glenelg to make.
Yeah, yeah.
How incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congrats for all of that.
Thank you. Because
that is quite, you know, inspiring, I think, to a lot of listeners out there, right? Like, you know, I've said it numerous times already, like, it's just so daunting, isn't it, right? And I think just to hear your story is an inspiration, really, to many out there. So congrats for all of that. What I guess, do you have planned? I know you already mentioned a few things, but what things do you have planned going forwards and what's kind of coming up for yourself?
Some cool things in the works with Be The One. We've got some very exciting things.
Yep, awesome.
You may have heard of the brand Budgie Smugglers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Love wearing the budgies.
Yep.
I've got plenty of pairs myself.
Yep.
And we're doing a series up in Gold Coast where we asked millionaires to swim in their pools.
Yep.
And somehow the first guy we asked said yes.
Yep.
So, which was so cool. So we went for a swim in his pool in this like really nice, like rich area of Gold Coast. Anyway, we pitched the idea to Budgie Smugglers and they're like, yep, we'll fly to Sydney.
Yeah.
So we're going to head there at the end of the month.
Sweet.
And, end of April.
Yeah.
And we'll be there
with
Budgie Smugglers, which would be cool doing the same thing.
Awesome.
So keen for that.
Yeah.
We've got some really exciting things in the works with Red Bull as well at the moment. There's potential to head to Europe for like a Red Bull Can You Make It challenge, which is really cool, where you trade like Red Bull as currency and you have to spend 7 days in Europe traveling to different countries without like phones or transport or anything, just by using Red Bull cans.
Yeah.
And then we also have an exciting opportunity that came about literally like 12 hours ago last night. We're all about like just asking because you never know, like you ask and you shall receive, that saying.
Yeah.
We're all about that and we're just like putting that to the test literally at the moment. Mm-hmm. So we've done a series where we get dressed up in suits and ask people to fly on their private jets.
Okay.
And we've been doing it at the airport, like in Adelaide and a few other places. Anyway, we reached out to this guy who's on social media called Adrian Patelli.
Okay.
And he's Australia's youngest billionaire.
Right.
And he's really cool. He does so many cool things for publicity and like, which really boosts his business. He's super smart and dialed in.
Yeah.
Anyway, we filmed this video yesterday at the airport, like calling him out being like, Adrian, if you're around, let's jump on your private jet for a send.
Yeah.
And he literally replied last night and he's like, yep, let's make it happen. Where do you boys want to go?
Yeah.
So we're just like from literally, like we filmed it yesterday, edited it. And he replied once it was up after 25 minutes or something, he replied once it'd been posted.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's the power of the internet.
Yeah.
That's how incredible like this tool we have is.
Yeah.
And then, he literally messaged us and was like, when he's got time off, we'll head there. And he's like, where do you want to go? We're like, let's go to the Maldives or something.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Hopefully we'll be in a private jet with him soon, which is so cool.
Yeah. That is
just
cool.
Just by putting the question out there.
Yeah. So you ask, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Because I think like that's probably another thing that a lot of people think, oh, I've created this business or I want to create this business. How do I get these deals and whatnot? And, I just need to wait for them to come to me. But it's not that way for yourself, as you found. Is that correct?
With a lot of the brand deals, a lot did come from TikTok.
Yeah.
And just having like in the bio, having your email there. And like a lot of brands did reach out from there, which was awesome.
Yeah. And you put yourself out there.
Put yourself
out
there.
Exactly.
Yeah. But recently, like the quite big deals have been from asking. Because it's like no one knows what you can offer them or what you can do for them or how they can help you if you don't tell them.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It's like, hey, we want to go on your private jet.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a good experience for you guys for sure.
It'd be wild, hey?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Okay. Now this is something new that I've done just kind of this past season. I've kind of gone over it with you a bit. It's the vulnerability corner. There's about 5 questions here, Ozzy. I'll let you pick a number from 1 to 5, and it'll just be a random question about anything vulnerability related. Feel free to answer it as short or as long as you want, but pick a number from 1 to 5 for me, and let's kind of get started into the vulnerability corner.
Keen for this. Number 4, please, Jordan.
4, okay. So the question is, what do you most like about yourself and what do you most dislike about yourself? This one's a loaded one, isn't it?
That is.
Yes.
Great question.
Yes.
Did you come up with these yourself?
I did.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. I love it's like getting straight into it.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Cuts through. Bang,
it does.
Into it.
Exactly.
I think what I love most about myself would be my self-confidence and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I think I have very good self-belief, and I think that's what helps so much with the success I've had.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just knowing that I can back myself in and go for it.
Absolutely.
What I most dislike.
That's the hard one, isn't it?
Isn't it? Oh, yeah. Makes you think, hey. It's not necessarily that I dislike this. Mm. However, yeah, I could say it's like a weakness or in some regard.
Yeah,
you could say, yep. Yeah. I have dyslexia. And also OCD,
yep.
But I also, it's been incredible. Like, mum and I have a great relationship, and she's been able to teach me growing up how to see it as a strength.
Yeah.
And then now I've recognized that as it being a gift, both OCD and dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen and recognized that with other successful people like actors, elite sportsmen, all of these type of like mentors who I look up to and successful entrepreneurs, businessmen, whoever it is. And I'm just like, wow. These guys have it, and I'm like, this is sweet. Let's make it work.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool in terms of like, having that different mindset, how it helps, and you can use it as a strength, which
exactly.
is interesting.
No, I really like that, right? Like, use it as a tool versus, you know, a negative or whatnot.
Spot on.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good advice out there. Awesome. Thanks for that. Now, where can people find you, Ozzy? You know, drop your socials, drop whatever you want, really. Where can people follow you? Where can people find you guys? Drop all of that for us, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Firstly, on Be The One, you'll find us on TikTok, Be The One BT1, with the number one at the end there. Same on Instagram and also on YouTube. For myself on TikTok and Instagram, it's Ozzy Edwards. And also on, if you need any media, photography, videography, or anything of that kind, check out my website, Ozzy Edwards Media.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. All of that, you guys, will be in the show notes, so definitely check all of that out. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. This was really enlightening and really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jordan.
No
Appreciate
worries.
It.
No worries.
Really
Cheers.
Good to catch up.
Yes, absolutely. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you for listening to today's episode. It was such a good one. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you can do me a favor, head to, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or now Spotify has the option, if you can click that 5-star button review, it definitely helps out the show. It helps out Radiant Voices Media, the podcast network, everything really, and it means a lot. It only takes 5 seconds. Thank you all again for listening. I have such amazing guests coming up. I am kind of recording back to back right after this. So definitely stay tuned to future episodes. But once again, thanks for listening, and I will chat to you in the next episode.